The Mercury, with Chief McGurdy at the control console, reached the sunken boat in less than 15 minutes. The chief steered the rescue vehicle along the hull. All three men felt an eerie sensation seeing faces inside the golden Marlin gazing back. They spent 3 hours making a thorough inspection of the boat lying in the bottom silt, their video cameras rolling and still shots clicking at 2-second intervals. McGurdy guided the rescue vehicle over the top of the Golden Marlin and eased to a stop just above and off to the side of the escape hatch. Both he and Turner studied the damage from the explosives. Turner didn't look hopeful. "The ceiling flange around the hatch is ripped to shreds. There's no way we can use the airlock in the rescue chamber to make repairs, because the hull is too damaged to make an airtight seal, pump out the water, and have a crew go to work with cutting torches." "What about divers?" asked Giordino. "They'd have to work in shifts around the clock while living in a decompression chamber. We'd need at least 4 days to get a chamber on site and complete the repairs. By then..." His voice trailed off. "We'll have to lower a pressure chamber down on the hull, form a seal, and then cut a hole through the plates large enough to evacuate everyone," said Turner. "How long will that take?" asked Giordino. "We should be able to do the job in 48 hours. "Too late," Giordino said bluntly. "They don't have more than 30 hours of air left in there. You'll be opening a passage into a huge coffin." "You're quite right," Turner conceded. "But according to the boat's plans, there's an outside air connector for this type of emergency. A connector for an umbilical hose from the surface is mounted just forward of the fin on the stern. We have the hose and a pump that puts out more than 1,000 pounds per square inch. We can have it in place and ready to supply air." He paused to glance at his watch. 3 hours, max." "At the very least," said McCurdy. "We can keep the poor devils alive until we can make a dry entry and rescue them." But when they examined the locks for the air connector, they found that the female fitting for the male fitting attached to the air hose was missing. It looked as if it had been mutilated and removed with a sledgehammer and chisel. Giordino had a feeling of unreality. Losing a best friend in a quick accident was abhorrent enough, but waiting for a perfectly healthy person to simply die because no one could help him, because he was beyond the reach of modern science and technology, was totally unacceptable. A grief-stricken man is driven to defy the gods. Giordino determined to do something, anything, if it meant diving 550 feet down to the wreck himself. Pitt's worst fears were realized after he watched the rescue vehicle return to the surface, and Giordino passed on the bad news over the phone. He went to the bridge control room and studied the plans of the ship again and again, searching for some tiny clue to survival. "There has to be a key," he said in a low voice to Baldwin.
"When you find it," said Baldwin with a show of humor, "let me know." He rose to his feet and started for the door. "Time for me to put in an appearance in the dining room. Good luck."
Slowly, a numbing fear seeped into Pitt's mind. Not a fear for his life, but a fear that he might fail with so many people's lives hanging on his finding a solution. But for a few moments, it also sharpened his senses and flooded him with extraordinary clarity. This was followed by a revelation that struck with such force it stunned him momentarily. He jumped up so quickly he knocked over the stool in his rush to get to the phone line. He shouted into the receiver, "Al, are you there?"
"I'm here,"
Giordino's voice replied gravely.
"I have the answer. How long will it take you to set up the air hose and get it down here?"
"You know, of course, Mr. Pitt, that we can't make a connection," said Turner.
"Yes, yes, I know all that," Pitt said impatiently. "How soon?"
"We can have it ready to go in 3 hours," McCurdy answered.
"Make it 2, or you can forget it."
"What good will it do? We can't make a connection."
"Wait and see," said Pitt mysteriously. "It's the most elementary high school physics class experiment in the book."